Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, Text 61. Taeva Niyama Sakshad. Ta eva niyama sakshad. Ta eva cha yamotamaha. Ta eva cha yamotamaha. Tapo danam vritam yagno. Tapo danam vritam yagno. Yena tusyat yadhoksaja. Yena tusyat yadhoksaja. Ta eva niyama sakshad. Ta eva cha yamotamaha. Tapo danam vritam yagno. Yena tusyat yadhoksaja. Amen. Vaishnavis. Sakshat. No. Yena tusyat yadhoksaja. That is Eva, indeed, Niyama, all regulative principles, Sakshat, directly, Te, that is Eva, indeed, Cha, also, Yama Uttama, the best process of controlling the senses. Tapaha, austerities. Danam, charity. Vritam, observing vows. Jagna, sacrifice. Yena, by which process? Tushyati, is very pleased. Adhoksaja, the Supreme Lord, who is not perceived by material senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Adhoksaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. Purport. The Supreme Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 66, Sarva dharmam parichaja mame kam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yasyami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his demand, no good result will come from any of his actions. Dharmas fanustita pum sam vikshvakshena katasuya norpalayan yadiratim shreva shrama evahi kevalam. The occupational activities of a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke an attraction for the message of the Personality of Godhead. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 8. If one is not interested in satisfying Lord Vishnu, Vasudev, all his so-called auspicious activities are fruitless. Mogasha, moga karmano, moga yanavacheta saha, because he is bewildered. Because he is bewildered, he is baffled in his hopes, baffled in his activities, and baffled in his knowledge. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Napumsakam anu anapumsakineti adinaikatvam. One cannot equate the potent and the impotent. Among modern Mayavadis, it has become fashionable to say that whatever one does or whatever path one follows is all right. But these are all foolish statements. Here it is forcefully affirmed that this is the only method for success in life. Ishvara tarpanam vina sarvam eva vipalam. Unless Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all of one's pious activities, ritualistic ceremonies, and yajnas are simply for show and have no value. Unfortunately, foolish people do not know the secret of success. Natevadu svargakatim hi Vishnu. They do not know the real self-interest. They do not know that real self-interest ends in pleasing Lord Vishnu. Om aginatim anandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshuram litam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha shri chaitanya manogashtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakaramayam dadati svaparantikam. Yeah, let's do it. So this is text 62. Tasmade tadvatam badre prayata shvare archara bhagavan paritushtaste varamasu vidhasyati. Translation. Therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the Supreme Person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Executing the Payo Vrata Process of Worship. Okay. So I'd like to start off by thanking His Holiness Paladananda Maharaj for being here and for allowing me to, give me the opportunity to allow me to speak in his presence. Paladananda Maharaj is my superior in every respect in realization in Krishna consciousness, knowledge of the philosophy, years as a devotee, and good looks. But no, actually, I'd like to thank him. And I first met Paladananda Maharaj in 1976. I was in Texas at the time. I was on Brahma's bus, one of the Radha Damodar buses, and he joined us. He drove across the country. I remember this. He doesn't hardly remembers it, but he drove, because I remember he told me, he drove nonstop across the country from the East Coast to join us in Texas. I think he drove continuously for 38 hours or something like that. And then we met, and I think it was on my Sankirtan spot, because he had the vehicle and I didn't. So I guess the arrangement was he met me where I was doing Sankirtan. He picked me up. And then he had just finished driving 38 hours, so he asked me to drive. So I was driving. And it was at that time I received my first instruction from Prahlad Nanda Maharaj. He told me, when you drive, hold the wheel with two hands. That way both your hands will become purified. That was the first instruction I received. But that was a small instruction. But as time went on, subsequently, as we got to, you know, associate, know each other more, I came to realize that Prahlad Nanda Maharaj is a walking Krishna book and a reservoir of transcendental knowledge. And he was a lot of fun to do Sankirtan with. At least I hope it was, the feeling is mutual. And I hope I can say something today so he feels like all the time and energy he put into me, training me during that time and over the years was not wasted. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, this is a very nice verse, and this is, ending this instruction of Kasyapa Muni to his wife, Aditi, who, wanted to find out how could she get a benediction. She wanted to regain the kingdom for her sons, the heavenly kingdom, and herself, of course. And her husband, Kasyapa Muni, has instructed her in this Payavrata process. And the basic point that's being made here in this purport is that you have to please Krishna, Lord Vishnu, in order for your activities to bear fruit. And for anything to come out successful, you have to please Krishna. You have to please Vishnu. Some Siddhi Haritosana. Prabhupada didn't quote that verse here, but it's also a nice verse. He goes, Atak Pumbir Dvija Sreshta Banashrama Vibhagashaha Sanustitasya Dharmasha. Some Siddhi Haritosana. That of all activities that are performed within the Vanashram system, the goal of the whole thing is Samsiddhi Haritosana. That Krishna, Vishnu, has to be pleased. If Krishna, Vishnu is pleased, then everything's okay. And if he's not, then the whole thing is a useless waste of time. As Prabhupada quotes here in that verse, Shrama Avi Kevalam. If the activities one performs do not help one develop an attraction for hearing the messages of Vasudev, then Shrama Avi Kevalam. It's a useless waste of time. So, as we all know, that the way to please Krishna is to please his representative, the spiritual master. We sing it every morning. We hear it every day. I think in one of these Prabhupada memories, I think it was Guru Kripa Prabhu who pointed out that it's only in ISKCON that you have two Guru Pujas every morning. As at Mangal Arati, we sing the Sri Guru Vastakam prayers, not the Samsara prayers, by the way, Sri Guru Vastakam prayers, and that's glorifying the spiritual master. And then, just a couple hours later, we're having, we sing Sri Guru Vandanam, which is also, in worship of the spiritual master. So much importance is placed on the spiritual master. Why? Because Sakshad Dadit Vain Asamasta Sastra, he's the direct manifestation of Krishna. He's the external manifestation of the Supersoul. And Yasya Prashada Bhagavad Prashada, only by pleasing it. When you please the spiritual master, Krishna's pleased. And without pleasing the spiritual master, Nagatith Gatopi, our whereabouts in spiritual life are unknown. So to please Krishna or Vishnu, we have to please the spiritual master. And quite simply, the spiritual master is pleased when we just follow his instructions. Just do what he's asked us to do. So we're pretty much, we're doing that. I mean, here in New Dwarka is a great example. You just come to the morning program. You see there's lots of devotees here from Mangal Arati, and which was, by the way, ecstatic. I felt like I was in Vaikuntha. I was just standing there and I was thinking, whoa, what's going on here? This is like, I don't think it was my consciousness. I felt, this is like Vaikuntha, just no anxiety and just like a nice, blissful, ecstatic atmosphere with such a beautiful, kirtan. Thank you, Prabhu, that was led. And so many devotees were attending that, and there's like A couple dozen devotees here sitting all throughout the japa period, seriously chanting their japa. So, you know, good sadhana is happening here, and it's getting better. That's my observation. I've been here, I think, 18 years now, and I've just noticed that this community is becoming more and more solid, you know, more and more grounded. It's like, you know, the things that Prabhupada wanted to be happening are happening here. You know, devotees are taking deity worship seriously. They're taking coming to the program seriously. They're taking different aspects of the program seriously. And that's really good. And that's, you know, it's really wonderful. I feel very fortunate, privileged to be part of, you know, a community like this. And so that's really good. And, you know, in addition to that, in addition to, you know, being serious about sadhana, Prabhupada also wanted us to try to share, you know, this knowledge with other people. And that was, I mean, I would say, it's hard to put a quantitative value on this, but equally as important, if not even more, certainly equally as important to him as us being serious ourselves about practicing sadhana bhakti. And this is very important to Prabhupada to try to spread this, you know, knowledge to other people. You know, I mean, Prabhupada's life is the perfect example of that. So, to that end, I'll just read this beautiful little excerpt from a morning walk conversation that took place in Melbourne in 1974, where Prabhupada kind of expressed that. You've heard it before, but you can hear it again. In Krishna consciousness, a lot of repetition of things that are maybe not even as important as this. But so this is really nice, and I'll just read a paragraph. So this was conversation in Melbourne, Australia, 1974. Prabhupada's talking, says, that is missionary. He's talking about missionary activities, you know, giving Krishna consciousness to other people. He said, that is missionary activities. They do not understand, but you have to make them understand. They are not calling you, I am suffering, please come. But it is your business to go and let them know that you are suffering, take this method. That is the way of, here's a really big sentence here, important sentence. That is the way of becoming very quickly recognized by Krishna. See, that's an important sentence. Because why? Because that's what we want. We want to be recognized by Krishna. That's the whole, you know, name of the game, so to speak, to be recognized by Krishna. So Prabhupada's, it's an open secret. You know, he's telling us this is the way to become not just recognized, not just quickly recognized, but very quickly recognized. The way to become very quickly recognized by Krishna is that you just go out there and tell people, please take this Krishna consciousness, try to share it with other people. He goes on to say, otherwise, if you think, they are not understanding, what is the use of going there? Let me sleep. Prabhupada goes, no, that is not good. They are not understanding. Still, you have to go. Then Krishna will take it, that he is laboring so hard for my sake. Prabhupada says, now, never mind he is successful. It doesn't matter. But you are working for Krishna. You're working hard for Krishna. That is noted down. So our business is to be recognized by Krishna. Whether one man is converted or not, that is not our business. That's another important sentence. Right there. Prabhupada's saying that, you know, don't be attached to the results. Whether one man is converted or not, that is not our business. Prabhupada's going to elaborate upon that right now. He says, we shall try our best, but Krishna must see that I am giving service to him. That's all. That is wanted. Not that you have to judge that you have approached so many men, nobody became Krishna conscious. You see? So the important thing is just the duty, perform the duty of going out there and trying to give people Krishna consciousness. And just by doing that, the spiritual master Prabhupada will be pleased, Krishna will be pleased, we get purified, our life is a success. And of course we'll try as hard as we can to try to, you know, inspire people to engage in devotional service. And if we can, wonderful, it's like icing on the cake. But if we can't, okay, but it's not like we've done something wrong. You know, you haven't failed. There's no question of failure when you're trying to preach Krishna consciousness. It's a success. You know, the endeavor is the perfection. You see? So if somebody becomes a devotee, wonderful. If they don't, okay. You know, we tried. We did our best. And, you know, you never know. Maybe in the future they'll become a devotee. So it's never, there's no loss. So anyway, Prabhupada goes on. That doesn't matter, but you have gone there. You have endeavored your sincere effort. That is recognized by Lord Krishna. That is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whomever you meet, you give him, you inform him the instructions of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said, yes, Never said that. You see that he has actually become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says, never says. You simply go and say, that is your business. It is not that you have to see that he has become Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada is really, elaborating on this point here. He's really emphasizing this. It is not so easy to become Krishna conscious. It is not so easy. It will take bahunam janmanam ante, after many, many births. But you have to do your duty. Go and preach. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna badesh. Your duty is finished. And he says, of course, you will try to convert him. If he is not converted, that is not deviation of your duty. You have to simply go and speak. Just like when I came to your country, I never expected any success. I knew as soon as I will say no illicit sex, no meeting, they will immediately reject me. So I was not at all hopeful. See, so Prabhupada just came. He was just doing his duty. But of course, but Krishna's mercy, things worked out very way beyond his wildest expectations. But this is the philosophy here, that just we do it as a matter of duty. And, whatever the result is, that's up to Krishna. We've done our duty. We're getting the benefit. So, and this is, the reason I read this is because, a couple of reasons. One is just so everybody could remind themselves that this is the way to become very quickly recognized by Krishna. And once again, that's our objective. Just like if somebody, your objective was to become a billionaire or something like that, and somebody told you, hey, here's a tip, here's a way to become the richest man in the world. If you're a really serious business person, you'd be all ears. What is it? Tell me. So, this should be of interest to all of us. And also, this is expressing what the biggest difficulty is, this attachment to the results. But here, if we meditate on this, what we've just heard here, the philosophy, we can understand that it's an unnecessary anxiety. It's not necessary because, we don't have to. We're getting the benefit. We're successful just by the effort, just by the attempt. So, we're coming very close to the marathon now. It's right around the corner, pretty much. Just another week or so. And I wanted to share with all the devotees something that I've been doing on Sankirtan for the last 2 weeks, which has been very helpful and hopefully will make it easier for everybody who goes out during the marathon to try to do Sankirtan. Without further ado, this is our sign. My Sankirtan partner, Madhavendra Puri, came up with the idea. He said he had one of these in New York. And so we thought, why not? We try. We spoke to Ratna Bhushan. And actually, we went to a place first to get it, made up and all. It was between the stand and the sign, it was going to cost about $160. And Ratna Bhushan did it for nothing. And it's pretty good. You see? So this, goes there. And it has a pole. And we have a cart that we bought at Home Depot because we have a lot of boxes, And it just, Ratna Bhushan drilled a hole in the cart. And the poles go through the hole and it just kind of hangs there. And people can see it coming and going. And it really helps a lot. It really helps a lot. And by Krishna's arrangement, we got to experiment with it the first time. With small books, medium books, the Nectar of Instruction, because the Bhagavad Gitas were, they weren't available on a few particular days. So we went out a couple times to a college campus and once, I'll tell you about that first, to a college campus, I think UCI, places that weren't particularly sweet. But we were able to distribute a full box of Nectar of Instructions, just using the sign. The sign makes it about twice as easy to stop the people, and because you get people, seeing the sign and coming over to you. You don't have to say anything. They just see the sign, and all you have to do is kind of watch. As they're walking, you watch them. I think Vijay's been using the sign for a long time now, so he knows the glories of the sign. And you just kind of watch them, and when you catch their eye, you just kind of point to the sign. You don't even have to say anything. Just go, hey, like that. And they look, really? And I say, yeah, come on up. And then when they come, you just kind of hand them the book, and they, you know, they're okay. And then I give them a mantra card, you know, the yellow card. And I just say, this is an invitation to our temple. And pretty much the next thing I say, I might say we have a Sunday feast or we have a really nice restaurant there, depending upon how much of a rush they seem to be in. And then I just say, you know, I say, look, we print these ourselves. Is there any chance you could give a donation? You know, really kind of like, you know, what's the word? Not aggressive. You're just like really nonchalant and, you know, like that. And, you know, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. They go, oh, yeah, sure, I'll give you a donation. And they give whatever. They give $1, $2, $5. One thing I found that's interesting, it doesn't matter, at least when I'm doing it, it doesn't seem to make a difference whether I'm giving them a Nectar of Instruction or a soft cover Bhagavad Gita, which costs five times as much, you know. They give the same donation. So the point is, the good news is, on three different occasions, we went out using the sign with Nectar of Instructions, and we did, like, 200, say, approximately 200 each time, and we covered the cost of printing. And that's without, you know, hassling people at all about the Lakshmi. You know, it was just like basically accepting whatever donation they'd like to give, never asking anybody, can you give a bit more or anything like that. Just kind of, and if we see that they're in a rush, I don't even, you know, sometimes I just don't even bother. I just won't even ask them. I'll just, all right, take the book and go. You know, that's it. Or if they're uncomfortable with it, you know, if they say, no, and they start to hand it back, I say, no, keep it. It's your book. Look, they're free. You see? You just kind of use the sign like that, and they go, oh, okay, and they take it. So everybody goes away happy. You know, that was our experience. We tried to make it that everybody went away happy, and also that we covered the cost of printing, which is, you know, pretty nice. And so it's a really helpful thing. And, of course, this sign is wood. It's kind of heavy and clumsy. But I suppose you could, you know, get one made up of that kind of material. That, what is it, vinyl? And, you know, you just roll it out, roll it up, and you take... Probably would weigh all of about a pound or something like that, and you could have it wherever you went. And it's really, really helpful because you just, as I said, you know, even if you're shy or something like that, people come because they see the sign. They're interested, you know. And once again, it's not really, you can say, well, isn't that a bit deceptive or that's a bit, you know, isn't that a bit, like, dishonest? Not really, because I'll read you something from the Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada talks about this. It's kind of bona fide. He already knows what I'm going to read. So Prabhupada says here, this is from chapter 18, text 47. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, one should act to satisfy the Supreme Lord. For example, Arjuna was a Kshatriya. He was hesitating to fight the other party. But if such fighting is performed for the sake of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no fear of degradation. Now here it comes. Prabhupada says, in the business field also, and book, you know, to a certain extent, book distribution is kind of business. You know, I remember there was one conversation where the devotee said to Prabhupada, so book distribution, Prabhupada, that's brahminical activity? And Prabhupada said, no, Vaishya. He said, after all, it is trade. So at least on that occasion, Prabhupada did refer to book distribution like that. Okay, business, trade. So, you know, that aspect of it is there. So anyway, so Prabhupada says here, in the business field also, sometimes a merchant has to tell so many lies to make a profit. If he does not do so, there can be no profit. Sometimes a merchant says, oh, my dear customer, for you I am making no profit. But one should know that without profit, the merchant cannot exist. Therefore, it should be taken as a simple lie if a merchant says that he is not making a profit. See, but the merchant should not think that because he is engaged in an occupation in which telling lies is compulsory, he should give up his profession and pursue the profession of a Brahmin. That is not recommended. So in other words, it's, you know, I wouldn't get hung up on it if I were you. I mean, I'm not. I think it's straightforward and honest enough because the end result is we make sure everybody walks away happy. You know, and practically sometimes if people seem a little bit offended that, you know, that, oh, it's the sign says free books and you're asking for a donation. Practically, we just beg them, say, please, you know, just please take it. You know, we just, cause, but it helps a lot. It really is effective. So I recommend that everybody, you know, make some arrangement, get a sign. And another point, you know, just on Sankirtan is that, you know, if you're feeling like a little bit, if you're one of these devotees, like myself included, who gets discouraged when the results aren't particularly good, or you might feel a little bit self-conscious about approaching people, another good thing to know is that, you know, just don't worry. Krishna, when you just, the idea is you just get out there. You, when it's on Sankirtan, you just, you learn as you go. It's not one of these activities where you can, you know, sit in an office or in a classroom and you learn everything you have to know and then you go. No, you learn as you go. When you get out there, Krishna educates you, right? Vijay could know that. You get educated in the field, and that's guaranteed. If you chant your 16 rounds and you're following the four good principles and you just go out there with enthusiasm, you can go out there pretty well equipped if you just bother to take the time and trouble to, you know, talk to devotees like Vijay, Maharaj, like that, have been doing Sankirtan for 40 years or so, and you ask them, what exactly do you do? What exactly do you say? Or you watch them. You'll have a lot of, you know, vigyan, right? But even if you don't do that, if you just go out there and, you know, in good consciousness and you try, Krishna will reveal to you what to do, what not to do, what's effective, what will work, what won't work. So, you know, don't have to worry too much about that. You'll figure out how to do it. Krishna will give you the intelligence how to do it. And another point, and this is really, I guess, the main point, and Papa was talking about this in that excerpt I read, is that, you know, really not to be attached to the results. I heard on one lecture Prabhupada gave. I couldn't find it, and I was trying to research it on the Vedabase, but 100% I heard it. He was making the point that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, which was spoken 5,000 years ago, he said, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschit yadati siddhaye, that out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. But Prabhupada said, now it's Kali Yuga. This is 5,000 years later, it's Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada said, now it's millionaishu. Instead of, you know, sahasreshu, every out of many thousands among men, Prabhupada said it's millionaishu, means out of many millions among. He said the proportion has been increased. You see? So in other words, it's just to be expected. It's to be expected that a lot of the people are not going to be interested. You know, that's just par for the course. That's what it says in the scriptures. That's what Prabhupada was saying in the, you know, in that class. Out of many millions among men, one may endeavor perfection. So don't get discouraged. There's nothing to do with you. There's nothing to do with that, oh, I'm not a good enough devotee, or I'm not Krishna conscious enough, or I'm not surrendered enough. That's all mental. You know, you could be great. It's just them. You know, they're not fortunate. But so don't, you know, really don't worry about that. Because most people are in what I call the MLP. You know, actually, if they're lucky, MLP stands for Multiple Life Program. Multiple Life Program. I think Maharaj was referring to this in his class the other day about, you know, this one life, we want to do it in one life or many lives like that. So I made a, you know, little acronym for it, the MLP, Multiple Life Program. And most of the people we meet are, you know, I mean, like, for instance, yesterday I was on Figueroa and 7th, right down in downtown Los Angeles. And it was an amazing day. Amazing in different ways. The first thing I was amazed at was here I was with a cart with 12 boxes of soft-covered Bhagavad Gita stacked on it and this sign, beautiful sign, saying free meditation books. And I was just amazed at how many, and I was there smiling and holding the book up, you know, and I was just amazed at how many people could walk right by me and not even show any interest. And I was thinking, I was just amazed. I mean, it was just like amazed. I was thinking, what? How is this possible? These people must be nuts. And what's wrong with them? You know, meditation, that's a cool thing. You know, here I am. You see the book? Why not just walk up and take a book? And you realize, wow, it's amazing. It's like, wow, Krishna's, you know, really got them covered over, you know? They're just that bewildered. They're so unfortunate. So that was amazing. And then the next thing that was amazing was how many people were interested. The first thing that was amazing was how many people weren't interested. And the second thing that was amazing is how many people were interested, because there's a lot of people that are interested. There's a lot of people that are interested, you know? I mean, basically, I wasn't saying a word. I just would stand there and hold the book, and all I would do is stand there and just pray. I would just pray to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please let one of these souls be, you know, just inspire one of these souls to come over here and, you know, take a book, you know, inspire these people to, you know, be attracted. You know, I just pray like that over and over and over again, and then I just, like, look. I just hold the book, and I'm just looking and to see who looks, you know, see who looks over. And when somebody looks over, I kind of give him a big smile, you know, and then you go, Here you go, you know. So there's a lot of people that were interested. A lot of people are attracted. Yesterday, for instance, we did 400 books. You know, got out 400 Bhagavad Gitas. We didn't do, weren't able to cover cost of printing, but still, I mean, the books went out, you know. So there's a lot of people who are interested, but you could see that among the, even among these people that took, with the speaker, you know, forget about the people that didn't take, you know. But among the people that took, you know, they're not like going to, I don't, well, at best they're going to be in the MLP program, you know, multiple life program. I mean, I don't know. It's my experiences, and I think even the Shastric statements, that it's not likely that all these people are going to just who get books are going to necessarily become devotees in this lifetime or who are seriously practicing Krishna consciousness and at the end of this lifetime are going to go back to Godhead. But so what? So what? You know, I mean, that would be great. We'd love for that to happen. I mean, we'd love for that to happen even to us. But what's, but you know, maybe it's not going to happen. But they're making progress. They're making progress. So I think our mindset should be that we should be thinking that, you know, okay, like, for me, let me, I want to be in the SLP, in the single life program. You know, this is how we should be thinking as, you know, as members of the Krishna consciousness movement. I want to be in the single life program, and let me just try to help as many of these people who are in the multiple life program as much as I possibly can. That should be, you know, how we're thinking. I want to be a single lifer, and let me help as many of these multiple lifers as I possibly can, as much as I possibly can. And, you know, that's a good way to spend the rest of our lives. And another helpful tip is that Vaisheshika came up with this great analogy, during one of the Sankirtan seminars he gave a few years ago about the ripe fruit, you know, how like the people like the fruit. And he said, we're interested in the ripe fruit. So aside from ripe fruit, of course, there's unripe fruit and there's rotten fruit. And this is a really great analogy. You know, it really, you know, it's really, you see it when you're out there. It's exactly like that. There are people, just think of each soul out there as a fruit, okay? There are the ripe fruit. The ripe fruit are the people who you're out there with the sign and everything and you're just praying, you know, and they kind of either walk right up to you and say, oh, can I have one of those, you know? And yeah, sure, can I give you a donation? That's like a super ripe fruit, right? But, you know, there's different degrees of ripeness or whatever, ripeness. And, you know, so there's those people in that category, and they're about like, you know, 1 in 100 kind of thing. And then there's the unripe fruit, and they're mostly, most of the people are in that category, unripe fruit. And unripe fruit, the symptom of an unripe fruit is you're out there, you got your nice sign, you got the book, you're smiling like anything, and they just walk right by you as if you don't exist. They just don't even look. You know, they just bloop, and they go right by you. That's unripe fruit. So in pursuance of that, you know, the logic of that example, I don't bother with them. You know, just because, like, it just before I became a devotee, I spent about a few months in Israel on a kibbutz, and the job I was doing was I had to pick grapefruits. So I learned a little something about picking fruit from that at that point in my life. And one thing I learned was that don't mess with the unripe fruit. You're just wasting your time. I was up there picking grapefruits. They even taught us this. When you're picking grapefruits, the way you do it is you just hold on to the grapefruit and you just give it a little tug. Like that, just a little tug. If it comes off, great. That's it. Then it's a ripe fruit. That's how you know. And you just put it in the basket. If when you give it a tug, you know, nothing happens. It doesn't, you know, and you can see the stem is green and everything. Leave it. Just leave it. Because even if you take your knife and you cut it off, you know, if you force it to come off, it's not ripe. Bitter. It's not sweet. You see? So it's a waste of time. Just leave that fruit on the tree and let it ripen. You see? So the same thing with these people. These people who just whip by you like that and don't even pay any attention, let them. You know? You could chase after them. You could harass. They're not ripe. You know? I mean, if you got nothing better to do, okay. You know, if there's nobody else around or anything like that. But don't waste time, because it is basically a waste of time. Because the time and energy you're putting into trying to, you know, get that one unripe fruit, three or four ripe fruit can go right by you, and then, you know, you're going to miss the opportunity to engage them. So let the ripe fruit go. Don't worry about the unripe fruit. Then there's the rotten fruit. The rotten fruit of the people, everyone knows what a rotten fruit is. It's fallen off the tree. It's got worms in it. It's gone, you know, it's gone rotten. So you know, and the symptom of a rotten fruit is that you're out there with your nice sign and your free books, you know, and you're smiling away, and they come up to you, somebody, they come up to you and they go, what are you guys doing out here? You're not allowed to be here. Or you stop bothering people or something like that, you know, some nasty, hurtful type of thing, right? So same, don't really worry too much about those people either. You just can't, you just kind of say some sorry, you know. And basically, don't worry about them. I think in the Nectar of Instruction, there's some instruction like that about people who are envious, just neglect, upeksha, right? You just, you know, don't worry about them. Don't let them bother you. In some rare case, you might be able to help somebody who's an unripe fruit. Like there was one example yesterday. We were out there, and some lady came up. She approached us. You know, she saw what we're doing. She goes, she goes, is that the Bible? And I said, I was with my Sankirtan partner, who doesn't have a lot of patience for people when they're like that. He said, no. I said, well, and we were there standing together, so we're kind of answering her simultaneously. So he said, no. I said, well, it's not the Bible, but it is a scripture. And then she goes, well, does it talk about Jesus Christ? And he goes, no. And I said, well, actually, yeah, it does talk about Jesus Christ. And she goes, well, does it say he's Lord? You know, and I said, and he was by this time, he just walked away. I said, well, yeah, it does. She said, show me. So I said, okay. So I opened the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, this is like Krishna's arrangement. So I opened the Bhagavad Gita to the last purport of the 11th chapter, and I said, I opened the book. I said, here. I said, there are many examples in history of devotees of the Lord who risked their lives for the spreading of God consciousness. The favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. And she said, I want that book. Yeah. That was Krishna's mercy. So I gave her the book. I said, you know, we print these ourselves. Could you give a donation? And she went, you know. She said, well, I don't have any money. Well, actually, and she, after about 30 seconds, she said, well, actually, maybe I have something. So she pulled out a couple dollars. She gave a donation as well. So that felt pretty good. But that's rare. But, yeah. So, yeah, the big thing is just, you know, get out there. Because if you get out there, Krishna's going to, you know, he makes it happen. Krishna just does things, lets things happen, gives you experiences to encourage you, because this is what he's wanting. This is what Prabhupada wants. This is what the whole disciple succession wants, to, you know, to give as many people as possible this opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And one last thing is that, you know, actually by Krishna's arrangement or mercy, I was speaking on Prabhupada's disappearance day, I think it was, and I made the point that, you know, sometimes we say Prabhupada saved the whole world. And somebody might say, well, what do you mean? How can you say Prabhupada saved the whole world? Look at the world. It doesn't seem saved. But the way I explained it was, so many people have come in contact with this Krishna consciousness movement. From what I can understand, there's been 500 million pieces of literature distributed since the beginning of the movement. Is that a correct figure, approximately? Okay, over 500 million pieces of literature. And according to Bhadranarayan Maharaj, each piece of literature goes through more than one person. So, in other words, so many people have gotten a jnana sukriti, either by getting a book, hearing the chanting, eating prasadam. I mean, the number would be in the billions, right? 500 million is half a billion. So all those people are going to get a human body in their next life. You know, they may have otherwise, been degraded into lower species. So in that sense, you know, the Krishna conscious movement is really doing something really significant. I mean, they can't see it. We can't even see it sometimes. But at least, you know, we have to shastra chakshus. We have to see through the eyes of the scriptures. This is what our philosophy says. And so this is what's going on when we go out there and to give people a chance to hear the holy name, to take prasadam, to get a book, to see a book, to touch a book. You know, this is the most important event in their life. It's the actual event that will hope, maybe, you know, enable them to get at least another human body in their next lifetime and an opportunity to engage in devotional service again. And hopefully in that next opportunity, they'll take it more seriously. So, amazing. Is it, what is that? 8:25? Okay, I'll stop. I didn't go. I didn't realize how long I was talking. So, thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Satchit Narpu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhupati Prabhu. Wonderful, enthusiastic presentation.
Thank you.
Obviously, this is one of the luxuries on Yudhwarka, that we have this great opportunity. I was just thinking about many other temples who are struggling and they don't have that facility. And I hope this, you know, like this can be handled by the management to facilitate, because this may is like a new turn, a new way to actually convey the message in a very, how do you say, like aggressive way. And I'm very happy to see that.
Yeah.
And hopefully it can be arranged for a few devotees or many devotees to keep doing that, because that will change their image too. Unfortunately, because sometimes, you know, attachment, you know, like devotees, we have attachments even to within devotional service. So we might not be very skillfully or so many things, but this can avoid so many of those things. Another thing that was...
This can help, yeah. I think this could help in that regard.
Yeah, it's opening up a new windows, a new way. But I was appreciating also your enthusiastic way of how, you know, that sign meditation is now in the minds of, in the whole world, the young people, when they see that meditation, immediately they get captured. And I just want to share this experience that yesterday, by Krishna's mercy, we were at UCLA, and we have our friend Kevin, I invite him. And because Kevin, you know, he's known by so many youth. I was appreciating to see how enthusiastic he was, you know, conveying the message. And he was like very enthusiastic. I even told him, I said, are you sure you want to be like two hours? He said, no, I want to stay until you finish, until 4 o'clock. So first of all, there was like 10 people, like 20 people, like 30 people. At one time it was like 40. And I was thinking, wow, I need some help. You know, I was trying to get devotees in UCLA to see if they could come and talk to us, because he didn't have enough time to talk to many of them at the same time. Yeah. It's Kevin right here. Okay. But I was just, you know, just we need to, you know, combine and help him too in such a way that he can, you know, he goes there, people go to see him, and obviously after that he presents himself, this is what I'm doing now, and he gives the cards, the message, and with that sign will be so wonderful. Many of those kids can get books. Mm. But he was pointing out, he said, you want to know more? Talk to him. And they will come to me. And as you said before, you know, the ripe fruit, the not ripe fruit, some of them will come and eventually they go with their personal views of whatever religion they have. Also, you have all kinds of things. But I was just thinking that, yeah, we need even more people to talk to all those. There were like 30 Papa or 40. Said, I even videotaped.
Prabhupada said we need an army of gurus.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean necessarily, you know, Diksha gurus. Vatma Padakshana Guru. Vatma Padakshana Guru is one who introduces you to the path. So we need an army. Just one really quick anecdote. So I was at Saddleback College on Monday. So some guy walks up to the, you know, it's not a table, our cart with the sign. And he says, oh, Bhagavad Gita, yeah. He said, you know, do you ever go to Long Beach? I said, well, yeah, sometimes. He said, yeah, I got a hardcover of this book from a fellow at Long Beach State University. I said, was he wearing a hat? Yeah. Was he sitting at a table? He said, yeah. Was he wearing glasses? I said, yeah, that sounds like the guy. So I said, oh, I know who that is. So I got on my phone. I took out my cell phone, and I rang Vijay. And he usually doesn't answer his phone, you know, because when he's on Sankirtan, he doesn't answer. But I rang him, and he answered. I said, hey, Haribol, Vijay, I got somebody here that wants to talk to you. So I handed the guy the phone, this young student. And he goes, oh, hi. He says, I said, I got a Bhagavad Gita from you, you know, at CSU Long Beach a couple of years ago. Man, I really want to thank you. That book is fantastic. That book changed my life. That book is so great. And I read that book, and I'm reading other Vedic literatures. You know, I didn't know what he was going to say, but he went on for about like 2 or 3 minutes just thanking Vijay for, you know, being there and giving him that book, you see. And then he handed back the phone to me and said, so what do you think? He said, pretty good, thank you. So that was pretty far. And then also, the other one relates, you know, involves me, but right at the, I went to for the program at Laguna Beach Temple, the Govardhan, what was it? Yeah, Rathayatra, sorry, Rathayatra, just this last Friday, I guess it was, or whenever it was. And what's it? Sunday, yeah, okay, Sunday. And so at the end of the whole program, you know, the whole thing's over, after Prashadam and everything, and I was just stood up and I was just getting ready to go, and these two girls walk up to me from across the room. One was wearing a dhoti, sorry, dhoti. One was wearing a sari, you know, dressed in devotional clothes, and the other was wearing like jeans and a sweatshirt. And they come up to me very shyly, you know. And the girl who was dressed in, you know, non-devotional clothes, she says, do you distribute books? I said, yeah. She said, did you ever go to CSU Long Beach again? And I said, yeah, every now and then. She said, yeah, I think I got a book from you 2 years ago. You know, you gave me my first book. I said, oh, well, at least I did something right. And then the other girl said, because she was very shy, then the other girl said, yeah, she comes here every Friday night. She goes to Tukaram's Bhagavad Gita class every Friday night, Laguna Beach, and she comes for every Sunday feast. And then she said, every other day, she goes to the preaching center that they have now in Long Beach. So in other words, she's a devotee. So in other words, we're having, something's going on out there. So million a shoe, but, you know, there are some people that are becoming devotees as a result of us being out there and trying to share it. You know, I'm sure everybody, yeah.
Just one quick line. I want to acknowledge our friend Maharaj Das, who after many years, he was working hard and came back for a Prabhupada disciple to come back and start doing book distribution. So in that line that you're mentioning.
He's doing great, too.
Yeah. So I was, last week, we were at UCLS after a break in the table there, and two girls came and they said, he pointed out to him, they said, do you remember me? You gave me a book. And guess what? You changed my life. And she said, thank you very much. I just want to say thank you very much to my friend Maharaj Das. Right now he's having some problem with his back, but he'll be ready pretty soon. But I just want to mention that, you know, how important it is that no matter who we are, you know, like a new bhakta, someone who's been doing for many years, the mercy comes, the mercy is given to them, and the mercy comes back to us too. So I was happy to see that, you know, that reciprocation for him, to encouraging him more. And he's very, very, you know, like, happy to do this service. So I all hope right. He gets well soon.
Does anybody have anything
Maharaj
that you'd like
Das.
To say?
Maharaj Das.
Marge, would you like to say something? You have any comment? Would you like to? Anybody? Okay. Sorry about the lateness.
I'll promise I'll be quick. I like your MVP, multiple life program thing. I like the single lifer more. I'm not really a book distributor myself. I've only won Sankirtan with Shastrakut once at Long Beach and a couple of other friends. I gave all the books away, but no donation. So I usually distribute books within my close friends and relatives that I feel they don't judge my lifestyle and they kind of appreciate it and they're open-minded. But I've noticed they never really read them. And that is a concern, you know, like, wow, you know, all these books that are being distributed, but do people actually, I mean, it's wonderful to hear these examples when they come up to you and they thank you, you changed my life. But, you know, in my own experience, perhaps I don't have the right karmic points for it or something, but they don't read the books that I give them, and I'm not expecting any result, but it makes me sad because I had this curiosity when somebody gives me a present and it has a nice cover and it's about some philosophy of somebody that I love, you know, my relative, and how much my relative is experiencing this bliss. Like, I will at least have some curiosity to learn about it, you know. And then my second question is regarding book distribution at colleges. Recently I saw a Facebook post by someone named Devotee, who was saying that he's been criticized for saying that distributing books at colleges is illegal practice. And that made me really confused, because I myself distributed at a college in Long Beach once, and I never saw any police approaching us or any kind of like, okay, you have to hide the books when a teacher comes or something. You know, it's like, the devotees are breaking, this post was really strange, like, the devotees are breaking the law by distributing books at colleges. So since you're an expert book distributor, I kind of wanted to get your perspective on that.
I'll give you two quick answers. Okay?
Sure, thank you.
On the second one first, most colleges and universities these days will give you permission to have like a free speech area, something like that. But the donations is kind of like a, you know, ticklish point. And usually you have to, a lot of places won't give you permission to ask for donations. So you just got to keep a low profile. That's the best we can do, to be honest with you. And the other thing, if they're not reading the books, you read them, you read the books to them. You see, find something in the book that you're inspired by and just read it to them. That's how I started doing book distribution. I used to walk up to people with the Bhagavad Gita and I'd say, you know, I'd say, hey, check this out. And then I'd open the book to a paragraph or a few lines that I really felt inspired by and I'd say, hey, listen to this, you know, and I'd read them. And I remember that I used to read them 2:17, you know that which pervades the entire body is indestructible. None can destroy the imperishable soul. And I used to read them a couple lines from the purport. And then I'd stop and I'd go, what do you think? What do you think of that? You know, because I was enthusiastic about it, so you know, people got enthusiastic. So that's a good way to do it. Share your enthusiasm.
Like pushy, you know, like, oh, you're pushing. But it's not pushy.
If you have genuine enthusiasm about it, that perhaps will, you know, flow over onto them, and that'll help them, you know, be what they need to get them to maybe, you know, read it a bit more. Okay.
Thank you.
Maharaj Jai, thank you.
Two comments about what she has. First, as I'll start with the second one, because that's what you did. Actually, the only thing legal is to distribute books, because Krishna is in charge of the whole universe. Maya is his police force, and anyone who doesn't take a book or distribute one gets arrested by Maya, which is, she's his most stringent police. You get the worst punishment if you're outside of Maya's law. And the other thing is we actually have to, our society has to create systems so that people not only get the books, but they actually find out what's in the book. So it will be insufficient, whatever we do, unless we work together and actually create a system from, as they say, cradle to grave, from getting the book and all the way up to becoming a pure devotee. Otherwise, we're not really doing our service completely. But, on the other hand, the very act of doing preaching or doing anything in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is itself complete because it's completely spiritual. Therefore, even if they don't read the book, the devotee distributing the book, they're receiving the book, everything about it is the book. It's actually the experience which all was in the book. So it's even more valuable having that experience than even reading the book.
Jai, thank you. It sheds a lot further light on the subject. Thank you. Okay, so perhaps we can end there. Thank you very much. Guncho Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Got the book, didn't read it, but I found the book and I read it and I came here. So, you know, it's not just the person you're giving it to, it's the book is there.
Yeah, right.
Like Prabhupada said, it's like a time bomb.
Right.
It can go off and whoever sees it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to Bhajanarayan Maharaj, he made that point. Once when he was here, he said that every book goes to, let's say, on the average of 10 people.
Yeah.
In its lifetime.
Exactly.
So, you know. Yeah, just get the book out there. I mean, the person who you actually give the book to may not be the person who's the beneficiary.
The only thing I suggest, hopefully you give it to someone who doesn't throw it in the dumps.
Right.
Other than that,
Exactly. But there's so many stories like what you just told me.
Yeah.
So many stories. Devotees have got books out of the trash even. You know?
Well,
Library, or you know, found it in some bookshelf in some apartment they moved into. You know, there's so many stories like that.
Yeah. Nice class, thank you.
Thank you. So,
hopefully, I just bought a case of Bhagavad Gita, so I'm trying to do some distributing.
Yeah, well, here's something you could do too if you want to. Remember, I mentioned about the sign.
Yeah.
Since you're a painter, you're a practical guy, I'm not.
Well,
if you could figure out a way to get maybe a dozen or maybe a couple dozen signs like this made up on cloth. You know, on
somewhere you can roll it up and it's
exactly.
Not.
Exactly. And we could give them to all the devotees over the marathon. Take it and use it. Because, you know, from about the 20th onwards, all the schools are closed. So for the last, almost 2 weeks of the marathon,
yeah.
It's just, you know, no schools. the shopping malls are always a problem because you're repeatedly getting kicked out of them.
Yeah.
The streets are okay. The streets are no problem with security. So if we had like about at least a dozen cloths and just lightweight, durable, like this, easily visible, yellow with black and red letters, something like that, that would be great.
And this isn't a lie because you will give them free if they don't want to give donation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, and on different levels, you know, like I get the hard ones, like you said, it's going to be hard. A lot of people won't give the donation, you know, so I got to get the soft ones too.
Yeah.
And according to whatever they give, I'll give them a better, you know, upgrade or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Free to whatever they want. Yeah.
But you're a painter, so, you know, what do you know about this kind of thing?
Well,
is this out of your field or is this in your field?
I think we
talked
in the Ratnabhushan, we could get some. And he's got the printing press, he's got the...
you're right. I think he just needs a different material to do it on.
I'm more of a painter, like a house painter type.
Okay. I'll talk to Rotten again.
I'll talk to him, too, all about it, too, you know.
Yeah.
Because,
I think it could be helpful to have, like, you know, for all the devotees that were going out, anybody who's doing a street...
And it's lightweight, too, if you could roll it up and then,
Hare Krishna.
I just want to know that this number of books which is scanned in history and distributed, which is a certain number which says 5 million, whatever. But is that those books are counted, the ones which many devotees don't give their scores, is also that's counted? Maybe there's more than that much? I was just going to ask a question.
The figure I was giving was, I heard from, I think it's, that since the beginning of this time, worldwide, they say over 500 million books have been distributed. So that means they're out there. Not that they're necessarily sold one-on-one, but, we've distributed. We've put 500 million books out to the public.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
So they also report those ones, the one like temple sells the books, so they take the report from there, or the one that is...
I don't know where they got that figure from.
Okay.
I don't know where
because maybe I was thinking that there is more. There was a discussion in London. There's more books gone, which many devotees are grastas. They may not giving their scores. Remember that? They're not giving their scores.
Yeah,
but because the books they bought it, I think they took that record. You know, because grastas.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was contradicting from you. Which one is?
I just was trying to inspire everybody with the figure, but I don't know the details of it. Hare Krishna.
Two things. I just wanted to know
where
do we get these free
meditation
books?
You want a free?
Yeah.
Okay. You can get it here.
Oh, okay.
We'll get you a couple. Hang on.
And we're like new to this place.
Yeah. Are you brand new? Is this your first time coming?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So is this like the main shrine? Is there a Venkateshwara shrine?
This is Venkateshwara is a Vishnu form.
Yes.
So our understanding is, hang on, I'll show you.
Yes.
Can you read that?
Krishna.
See, that's so our philosophy is that Krishna is the origin.
Origin.
It's just like if you have a candle, and with that candle you light a bunch of other candles, so they're all candles. You know, they all do the same thing. What?
Krishna is the first candle.
Krishna is the first candle. So in that sense, this is a Venkateshwara shrine because Venkateshwara is an expansion of Krishna.
Right.
So when we worship Krishna, we're worshiping the Radha Krishna.
Okay.
That includes the worship of Venkateshwara. I don't consider myself not a devotee of Vishnu.
Okay.
I consider by worshiping Krishna, I'm all automatically, it's included. Worship of Vishnu and worship of all the different expansions of Nisringa, Varaha, Korma, Rama, like that, that's included within the worship of Krishna. So you're okay here.
Yes.
But am I the first devotee you're even talking to? I mean, you're coming for the first time, and I'm the first person you're talking to.
Yes. Here.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Can I? Are you have time? Are you
going to? We have ISKCON Temple in Bangalore.
Yeah.
So
we
are from India.
Beautiful temple in Bangalore. Sure. How much time do you have right now?
We do have time. Yeah.
Good. All right. Let me introduce you to somebody. I'll introduce you to one of the women.
Okay.
I'll get you those books, the free meditation books, and I'll introduce you to one of the women who can, show you around.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great.
Let's do that right now.